What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021, and we've got a lot to talk about today here, so let's get right on into it. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, and we're going to go back to our normal format. I'm going to do news for about an hour, then we're going to open up the phones and take phone calls for another hour after that. So a lot of people still talking about yesterday's terrible, terrible shooting. Apparently, you know, this gun jumped off a shelf and shot someone, and they've arrested the gun and thrown it in jail here. Of course, that's not what really is going on, but we're going to see the leftists out there, you know, gun grabbing and so forth and so on. If they were thinking this is going to be another chance to scream white supremacists and racism, that story kind of went away because the shooting suspect is a 21-year-old Syrian immigrant named Ahmed Al-Aliwi Alisa, and the police are still collecting statements from what's going on, but he's anti-Trump, he's pro-Islam, and so there really isn't a lot for the Democrats, the gun grabbers, to grab onto in terms of other agendas here. And it's kind of interesting. Eight people killed in Atlanta, and the Democrats blame anti-Asian racism. A guy named Ahmed Al-Aliwi Alisi kills 10 people in a grocery store. They're not even questioning what his motive was. Not a single word about that yet. Of course, the big problem here wasn't the one man with the gun. It was those 10 others who did not have one to return fire. And around here in Indiana, it's a very gun-friendly state. And there's a local retailer we do business with, and it's not unusual to see people in there with a gun on their hip. And as far as I've been able to tell, there has never been a mass shooting in this place of business. There's never even been a robbery. Maybe some shoplifting, but that's about the extent of it here. So, a tragic loss of life, including one hero police officer. And we're getting two different stories about what the weapon was used. One person said it was a patrol rifle. I don't know what that means. One senior law enforcement officer, senior law enforcement source, told CNN the weapon was an AR-15 style rifle. And that makes me very suspicious that, like Columbine not too long ago, this is a staged event by the gun grabbers to build a case for banning assault rifles. Story coming on out of DailyPost.com. The Boulder massacre followed the NRA victory over the city because last week the National Rifle Association publicly celebrated its success in striking down an assault weapons ban in Boulder, Colorado. And then, of course, 5 days later, they have a mass shooting involving an assault weapon. The timing is just too cute. And again, it's a repeat of what we saw at Columbine, where that happened just after the gun laws were loosened there in Colorado. Again, they're pushing that this was an AR-15 style rifle, although somebody else said it was an AK-47. Interestingly enough, there's a videotape that we linked to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com where a witness to the shooting describes hearing two distinctly different guns being used. That implies that there were two shooters, unless our one shooter was carrying two of these very, very large guns. And if there was, in fact, an assault weapon ban in the city of Boulder, how did this guy get this gun so quickly in order to go on his rampage? And again, no motive whatsoever. Meanwhile, over at Facebook, they're scrambling to hide his profile. He had a Facebook page, and they discovered that he was anti-Trump and pro-Islam, and so they're trying to basically make that go away before people start looking at it and say, well, obviously, we cannot draw the same conclusions from Boulder, Colorado, that we did from Atlanta, Georgia. But that's not going to stop the gun grabbers because Joe Biden is already out there calling for disarming Americans after the mass shooting by a Muslim immigrant. Okay? And Joe Biden is calling for an assault weapons ban, and they want to pass the background checks in the wake of the Colorado shooting. Now, I have to be honest, you know, I'm not as opposed to the background checks as I am to the weapons ban. You know, it's very easy to explain how this works. We know that drunk drivers kill more Americans every year than are killed with assault rifles. And yet every time there's a drunk driver that goes on out and kills somebody, nobody says, let's take cars away from all the law-abiding American people. They go after the individual who did the crime, and they put them away in prison as they richly deserve here. And every time we have a Muslim commit an act of terror, we're told, please don't blame all Muslims for it. And wouldn't it be nice if the gun owners got the same courtesy? But no, every time there's a shooting anywhere in this country, every single law-abiding gun owner is expected to accept the blame. Well, I certainly don't, not that I have any guns anymore. But the principle is definitely there. Now, speaking of Atlanta, investigators are looking at electronic devices and conducting interviews and door cameras and whatever. They're saying there is still no evidence whatsoever of a hate crime involved in those spa killings. Now, remember the shooter? They got that shooter alive, and he said he was a sex addict, and these massage parlors were tempting him to indulge in his addiction. And again, a terrible way to handle that problem. But all this talk about white supremacy and anti-Asian racism was completely manufactured out of thin air. You know, never let a crisis go to waste, and everybody's piling on board. But they're doing it so heavy-handed and openly that people are picking up on it. They picked up on the attempt to convert Atlanta into a racist attack. They're picking up on the Boulder attack being, you know, morphed into condemning all gun owners. And it is. It's the way this government and the corporate media operate. Speaking of which, a federal judge, Lawrence Silberman, he's a conservative U.S. Circuit judge, is out there saying that the corporate legacy media represents a threat to viable democracy. And he made these remarks in a dissent on a defamation case. He called the New York Times, Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal news section, NPR, most network and cable news outlets, Democratic Party broadsheets. And he said one-party control of the press and media is a threat to democracy, and he is absolutely correct about that. Speaking of the corporate media flogging a dead horse until you can't recognize it anymore, Russiagate has been brought back to the corporate media. The latest U.S. intelligence assessment this week is seeking to prepare the way for more sanctions against Russia and Iran while providing political cover for Joe Biden. And this highly politicized, unclassified report was reprinted without any skepticism by the corporate media, playing its dutiful role of passing this information onto the American public without any question whatsoever, that being their job. Over at CNN, their ratings are in free fall. And this is basically the fulfillment of a prophecy made by Donald Trump back in 2017, where he predicted that all forms of media will tank as soon as he left office. He said, because without me, their ratings are going down the tubes. And that is what is happening. And it's not just CNN. It's the other corporate media. Without Donald Trump to kick around, they really don't have much of anything else going on out there that the American people want to listen to or see. And it's well, you know, good. It's a good thing for those big corporate media titans to come down. I want to see the social media titans come down, and I want to go back to a more peer-to-peer reporting of the news, which was one of the strong parts of the internet and the World Wide Web to keep people fully informed so that they can make good choices. Over at the Supreme Court yesterday, they rejected Facebook's appeal to scale back a $15 billion lawsuit that accuses the tech giant of illegally tracking its users' internet activities. And the lawsuit alleges Facebook violated the Wiretap Act by tracking users' online activities that utilize features such as the platform's like button without their consent between April 2010 and September 2011. The plaintiffs argued that the company used plugins and cookies to collect data on users before selling it to advertisers. And yes, they're right. It is a violation of the wiretap law. Speaking of the Supreme Court, they are getting ready to hear the government's appeal to reinstate the death sentence for the Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. And the appeal filed under the Trump administration, which carried out the executions of 13 inmates in its final 6 months in office, challenged a lower court's decision ordering a new trial over the sentence Tsarnaev should receive for the death penalty eligible crimes for which he was convicted. Now, if you've read my website today, you will see a graphic I put up there that was made back when the Boston Marathon bombing occurred in 2013, which basically, to my mind, establishes a reasonable doubt that the Tsarnaevs were anything more than patsies for a staged government anti-gun stunt, operation, propaganda move. And you know, if you look at the lawyer Tsarnaev had, I mean, talk about the worst defense lawyer in the world, literally walked into the courtroom and told the juror, he did it. You know, that's it. He did it. Now we're just going to decide if he dies or not. Okay. GOP lawmakers are now looking at new legislation that would expose foreign money pouring into U.S. think tanks. Now, those think tanks are used to set national policy. And if foreign money is coming on in, then foreign governments are influencing U.S. foreign policy. We know there's one government that loves to influence U.S. foreign policy, and this bill may start laying open that machination, if you will, here. Over at the Heritage Foundation, Kay Coles James, who's president of the Heritage Foundation, which is a think tank, is resigning from her position. She announced that yesterday. News of the resignation was reported by Real Clear Politics White House reporter Philip Melanchthon Wegman. And she said, leading an organization that has contributed so much to the policy dialogue in this country and educated so many individuals across the globe has been the honor of a lifetime, James wrote in a letter to friends and family obtained by Wegman. Now, this raises the possibility. Is the Heritage Foundation one of those think tanks that is about to be exposed as being under foreign influence? That would certainly be a very good reason to resign at this point. Okay. About COVID-19, yesterday we reported a story, and I labeled it as part of the propaganda war, regarding the AstraZeneca vaccine, and now there's a big stink being kicked up. Over at hideoutnow.com, they're reporting that U.S. health chiefs have accused AstraZeneca of sending outdated information as part of an application to get their vaccine approved for use on Americans. This is the data which claimed the shot was 79% effective. And now, of course, these health officials are raising concern over the fact that they're getting what, for all intents and purposes, is inaccurate, if not totally bogus, data from AstraZeneca. And they're slamming AstraZeneca for releasing incomplete trial data. In other words, there may have been some negative consequences from the vaccine, and we are not being told about it because, gosh darn it, that would definitely cut into the profits here. Up in Concord, New Hampshire, which is where I spent my childhood, the Concord School District has canceled school as of yesterday after a flood of teachers and other staffers called in sick one day after many received the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. Parents in the SAU 8 district received phone calls, emails, and text messages notifying them there would be no school just before 6:30 a.m. The alerts stated it was due to the level of teacher absenteeism across the district. The decision was made as principals began fielding calls from educators early on Monday that they were sick. Now, of course, the Johnson & Johnson shot is what Claire and I got. Claire has had no reaction to it whatsoever. I did have one day of being rather ill and in a grouchy mood. Claire will tell you I was grouchy. So grouchy. Don't make me grouchy. You wouldn't like me if I was grouchy. Over in the Philippines, they have now approved the Russian Sputnik V vaccine, and it's approved for use in the Philippines, which makes it the 52nd country to give the green light to the Russian COVID-19 vaccine. And so they're doing very well getting their vaccine exported to the rest of the world. Story coming on out of Press TV, fierce COVID shot resistance could derail mass vaccination in the U.S. And it starts out saying that many Americans remain deeply skeptical about the COVID-19 vaccines, threatening to derail a national vaccination program that aims to contain the virus that we've all been told is out there waiting to just attack us if we let it. This next story really annoyed me, and it probably will. A government scientist, Dr. Mary Ramsey, claimed on Sunday that social distancing and wearing masks could last for years. Okay, Dr. Ramsey, no way. I'm ready to throw these masks away, and I realize I don't wear one on the show. Do I have one around here? No, I don't. Here, we'll try this. There's my face mask. Okay, so... all right. Anyway, so they're out there still pushing, you know, buy the face masks, you know, spend money, get the vaccines. The other side, of course, is the burn your masks movement. This is a massive anti-lockdown protest raging worldwide. And they're saying thousands and possibly tens of thousands of protesters across Europe marched on Saturday against continued government lockdowns. Protesters hit the streets in London, Germany, France, Sweden, the Netherlands, Australia, Belgium, Japan, Vienna, and elsewhere in what was called a worldwide rally for freedom. And especially when you look at all the scientific evidence that's coming out saying the masks don't really work anyway. You know, my favorite mask, one that I wear all over the place, is if pants can't stop a fart, do you really believe this mask will stop a virus? And everybody gets a laugh out of that. Even my doctor got a laugh out of that one. Over at the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, said yesterday she's worried the U.S. could see another avoidable surge of COVID-19 if mitigation measures such as mask wearing, physical distancing, avoiding crowds and travel are not followed. So they're keeping up the booga booga. You know, spend your money, buy masks, buy vaccines, just go on out and keep the profits flowing to the medical industrial complex. And I know I sound cynical, but no matter how cynical I get, I just can't keep up. Story out of Breitbart over in Merkel's Germany. They have hit what they are describing as the emergency brake. They're going to extend and tighten their lockdown restrictions, and they're already dealing with protests in the street over all of this. So Merkel and the country's 16 state governors who are responsible for imposing and lifting restrictions are holding a video conference nearly 3 weeks after they agreed a several-step plan paving the way to relax some rules, and it looks like now that is not going to happen. Meanwhile, down in Miami, you've probably been hearing about all the ruckus going on down there. Miami Beach issued a state of emergency and shut it down, curfews, because of the crowds, and they're saying because of COVID. But there was a video over on Twitter, and we linked to it, and we put it under the title, Meanwhile Down in Miami, showing just the absolute fighting and brawling that is going on. In particular, one restaurant that was hit by these massive fights twice in a row, over 2 days period. So, yeah, it's and I think part of it might be that these kids have been held down in lockdown so much, you know, once they're let go, they tend to go a little bit crazy. That's just human nature. Turning to the international news, Russia is still saying that the U.S. refusal of Biden-Putin talks is a missed opportunity, and I can almost see Putin laughing quietly to himself, they're expressing disappointment to the White House's rejection of an offer from Putin to hold live unscripted talks with President Biden. We have to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with more news after these. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus.
$500 gets you two Commander memberships at Front Sight. $500 for two Commander memberships. Give one to whomever you would like.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the international news here, and there's an article out of UNS.com, Does Europe Stand with Biden Against Russia? Now, the focus of this article, they start out where, you know, Biden is accusing Putin of being a killer, and do Europe's politicians agree? And the article says, well, apparently yes, and they go on talking about how Prime Minister Boris Johnson has pronounced Russia Britain's top security challenge, basically is pushing for the armaments and nuclear weapons industry, and just really pouring more and more money into the British military. But even if they put their entire gross domestic product into the military, they would still not be a match for Russia. But what I think may actually be going on is I think the European countries understand that there's going to be a war between Russia and the United States, and sadly, it, like the first two world wars, is going to be fought on their soil, and they're trying to get ready for that. Over in Myanmar, dozens of Chinese-owned factories have been torched by protesters. Myanmar's chief of police, Thanh Thanh, said its Bureau of Special Operations Commander, Lieutenant General Aung So, along with two army units, will be hit with U.S. sanctions for being responsible or complicit in or having directly or indirectly engaged or attempted to engage in actions or policies that prohibit, limit, or penalize the exercise of freedom of expression by the people of Burma. Okay. So here a sanction, there a sanction. Saudi Arabia has bombed a major grain port in Yemen, and they hit the capital Sana'a, Marib province, and the Red Sea port of Salif. Now, according to the Houthis al-Masara, the bombing in Salif killed at least one of the grain company's workers and injured six more. Salif lies to the northwest of Hodeidah and is inside the UN-brokered neutral zone as per a deal signed in Stockholm back in 2018. But violations of the Stockholm Agreement are a regular occurrence. And, of course, attacking the food supply on which the civilians depend, I think, qualifies as a war crime. Over in Israel, the Jewish National Fund has now gone public admitting that it is financially aiding the illegal settlers who are grabbing land over in the West Bank away from the Palestinians. Now, for decades, the Jewish National Fund has had this image of charitable work buying and managing land in Israel, and they raise a lot of money on that. But apparently they have now decided to unmask their real purpose, and they're basically saying they allocate funds to expand Israel's illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. Meanwhile, over in Gaza, only 4% of households have access to safe drinking water. And the West Bank study shows that 66% of households have access to safe water there. The daily allocation per capita from consumed water is less than the internationally recommended rate, and it is decreasing. Israel's just slowly turning that valve shut bit by painful bit. The day before the new Israeli elections, personal details of all Israeli voters were leaked online, possibly as a means of putting pressure on them to go with the status quo. It's going to be at least Friday before we get results from the Israeli elections. And I imagine that they're going to have so much election fraud, it's going to make last November look like a minor inconvenience. Because Netanyahu is desperate to hang on to power. He's looking at corruption charges when he leaves office. We'll see what's going to happen there, but it could be rather amazing. Do you remember Jonathan Pollard? You probably do if you're my age. He's the American who served a 30-year sentence for spying for Israel, and he's finally given an interview since arriving in Israel last year after his parole expired. And he said America had stabbed Israel in the back by withholding intelligence from its ally. Well, that is something that just happens as a matter of course among all nations. There are some things they'll share and some things they won't share. But this was his rationale and also, I might add, his defense for stealing U.S. nuclear targeting secrets and selling them to Israel. Israel then turned around and traded them to the former Soviet Union for increased immigration quotas. So Pollard is back in Israel, and he's being treated like a hero over there. The U.S. government, through the U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory in conjunction with DARPA, spent $5.2 billion mounting high-energy lasers to aircraft. The Boeing YAL-1 airborne laser uses high-energy laser beams to superheat and destroy targets. And so they're really getting up there, and they've been planning this for a while. $5.2 billion on that one. Speaking of billions, you know, a billion here, a billion there. Soon you're talking some real money. The upgrade cost overruns for the F-35 fighter have run into the billions of dollars and slowed it down even more. It is now at risk for meeting its deadlines. So when they say upgrade to the F-35, what I think they mean is fixing all the problems that were designed into the thing. So it's a lot of money. The price for modernization, $14.4 billion. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're going to talk about the economic news for a while. President Joe Biden is pursuing an ambitious $3 trillion, with a T, dollar spending package on green infrastructure and other priorities. He's going to fund it by going after Americans making more than $400,000 a year, targeting estates and raising capital gains on wealthy individuals and corporations. Good luck getting that one through the Congress with all of those congressmen actually dependent on wealthy individuals and corporations for their campaign donations for the next election. Over at Goldman Sachs, the CEO has responded to this recent whistleblower, if you will. Basically, junior analysts making $91,000 complained of working 100-hour weeks under inhumane conditions. And so the CEO is responding by saying that he's going to try and get them Saturdays off so they get a little bit more time to go home before they come on back and start gouging the heck out of the American economy. Two of North America's largest railroad companies announced a merger Sunday that would connect freight customers to Canada, the United States, and Mexico on a single network for the first time in history. Canadian Pacific agreed to purchase Kansas City Southern in a deal worth $25 billion after discounting $3.8 billion of Kansas City Southern debt that Canadian Pacific will take on. It would combine two of the industry's fastest-growing rail companies at a time when online purchases have soared, overwhelming ports, and delaying shipments. So that's one place where we're going to need to make sure the infrastructure is up there, is those rail lines here. Okay, story coming out of Investment Watch blog, actually just posing a question. Are we about to reach America's let-them-eat-cake moment? It's talking about the flaunting of wealth and the ever-increasing wealth inequality that we have in this country. Meanwhile, story coming out of Zero Hedge, studies are showing that the richest 1% of Americans are hiding an average of 20% of their income from the Internal Revenue Service. And so this report concludes that U.S. tax evasion is far more widespread than previously estimated. I would imagine, however widespread it is, would be a carefully guarded secret, because if everybody's doing it, everybody will be doing it. Right. Over in the automobile industry, they are really being hit by the shortage of semiconductors around the globe, and apparently there's been yet another fire in a semiconductor factory, which is going to tighten up the supply even more. But some of America's top-selling motor vehicles are being made without computer components in 2021. Ford Motor Company is holding Ford 150 pickup trucks in the factories as long as possible as they wait on computer chips to become available. Well, there's a business opportunity for an American company, if you ask me. The new trucks will not arrive at the dealerships on schedule due to the worldwide shortage of semiconductors. New vehicles are made with multiple chips. These chips are incorporated into many aspects of the vehicle, from the power steering to the brake sensors to battery systems, entertainment systems, and backup cameras. As the industry transitions to more electric vehicles, more chips will be needed to make the vehicles work. In the realm of electric vehicles, Volkswagen is now using more cobalt than Tesla is for their batteries. And, pardon me, in 2020, a total of 18,750 tons of cobalt were consumed in the batteries of newly sold passenger electric vehicles globally. This was 29% increase over last year. This according to a report by Adamas Intelligence. According to the market analyst, the increase in cobalt use was the result of a surge in passenger electric vehicle sales in the second half of the year, particularly in China and Europe. And I hope somebody somewhere is going to think of a way to be able to go on out and recycle those batteries and recover the cobalt from them, some way that will pencil on out as opposed to simply, you know, dealing with shortages down the road. Let's get down to immigration and borders and so forth. Apparently, Mayorkas is claiming our border is now closed. Now, we reported yesterday that the Department of Homeland Security said the border was closed, but those illegal immigrants already inside were going to be allowed to stay. So this article is poking fun at the claims the border is closed, saying, right, President Biden regularly works out on a stair climber. Meanwhile, Representative Michael McCaul predicts a million illegal border crossings by summer, and they are definitely pouring on in. In February, human traffickers made up to $14 million per day during the rush to the border. Trafficking is a multi-billion dollar industry, according to the Tucson Border Patrol Chief Roy Villarreal, who had been with the agency for 30 years. So there, thanks a lot, Joe. You're just... And speaking of Joe Biden, article coming on out from the Political Insider, Joe Biden appears to be backtracking on his immigration policy. And when asked by a reporter Sunday about what could be done about the chaos at the southern border, Biden had a very interesting reply. He said, "We could do a lot more. We're in the process of doing it now, including making sure that we reestablish what existed before, which was they can stay in place and make their case from their home country." In other words, he's going back to the Trump method. He's reestablishing Trump-era border policy. What a huge embarrassment that is for him and for the liberals in general. Over in Chicago, in the suburb of Evanston, they are approving America's first reparations program for black residents whose descendants, I think they meant ancestors in this headline, lived in the city between 1919 and 1969 and experienced housing discrimination. $10 million will be paid out using marijuana taxes. See, where did this come from? This came from Women's Systems, and they botched the difference between ancestors and descendants. Interesting. Got to be careful. I've seen some whoppers even in the big corporate media. Okay, getting into science and technology news here. AT&T is out there whining about the new California net neutrality law as the ISP's case appears doomed. The broadband industry is attempting to kill California's net neutrality law and now appears to have very little chance of succeeding in the U.S. District Court where the case is being heard. On February 23rd, the industry's motion for a preliminary injunction was denied by Judge John Mendez of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of California. And apparently he did not issue a written ruling, but simply said, no, injunction denied. And the denial of the injunction means that California can enforce its net neutrality law while the case continues. And it certainly seems to suggest Mendez could ultimately side with the broadband industry. So we'll see what happens with that. This is kind of a weird story, and this is in the realm of brain-machine interfaces, and we know that Elon Musk is getting into this technology as well. But according to Blacklisted News, scientists have come up with a way of reading the minds of monkeys using ultrasound. So they don't have to actually stick wires in or, you know, send harmful radiation through the brain. And they're beginning to experiment with primitive forms of the technology. They have, to date, been able to help a quadriplegic control an exoskeleton using electrode sensors implanted in his brain. Well, now they're trying to replace that with the ultrasound technique, and that will be interesting. That'll be a great thing for people who have lost limbs or lost nerves or things like that. We've got a friend of a friend who just lost a leg, and that would be good to have a prosthetic that was controlled by the brain. I think we mentioned this once before, but it came up again in the news feed. The Ulysses Group is a surveillance company, and it is claiming it can track nearly any car in real time. And they can access over 15 billion vehicle locations worldwide every month. The data can be viewed historically or in real time, and it should be used operationally by U.S. government agencies. So they're going to be able to type your name into a computer screen and show exactly where your car is. Which is a good reason, you know, for swapping cars every once in a while with your neighbor, just to keep them guessing here. We were talking about possible recycling of the cobalt in the batteries. There's other very expensive materials used in cars, and in particular, the catalytic converters use platinum. And in Anaheim, California, there was a suspected auto parts thief was trying to steal a catalytic converter from a car when the jack gave out and the car fell on him, crushing him. So, not such a good idea. Right. Getting into the science news here. As if we didn't have enough to worry about, I mean, it's getting absolutely biblical here in this country. And so we're looking at this article. This came out of weather.com and a couple of other places as well. And they're talking about how after nearly two decades underground, trillions, with a T, of cicadas are going to emerge. They have spent 17 years underground, and now is the time they're going to pop on up, and it's going to be like, well, they're going to be just all over the place. So we've got that to worry about on top of everything else. I wonder if those COVID masks will protect us from the cicadas. If you are an astronomy junkie, like yours truly here, you might want to get out your telescope and look at the constellation of Cassiopeia, because there is a star near there that has just gone nova. It's visible in even a basic telescope. You can find exact coordinates online. It is brightening to the point where they're saying it might actually become naked eye visible. And they're saying it is easy to observe. So that's going to be a lot of fun there. Over at NASA, they have successfully tested the Space Launch System rocket core. They ran a hot fire test. It took 8 minutes, which is as long as they needed to run to get into orbit. And this is going to be used as part of the Artemis missions to return man and send the first woman back to the moon. And in the very, very near future, that'll be exciting. Okay. Up on Mars with Perseverance, the helicopter has completed its tests. They're getting ready to try the first flight, and it sort of runs like a drone. It's got internal gyros to keep it level, and because of the long delay for communications to reach from Earth to Mars and back, it can't be flown real time. So what they do is they program it. They pick a location where they want it to go, and the helicopter, which is named Ingenuity, flies off, does what it's told to do, and then comes on back to Perseverance. So they're getting ready to do that, and that's probably going to happen sometime in the next couple of weeks. And it'll be the first artificial flight, or any flight for that matter, on the planet Mars. Over in Tunisia, they have launched their first satellite into space yesterday from a launch site in Kazakhstan on board a Russian Soyuz 2 rocket. Now, the satellite was manufactured by the Tunisian telecommunications company Telnet and is specialized in the Internet of Things, according to the company's owner and general manager, Mohamed Freika. The Challenge 1 satellite was due to be launched on the 20th March, but was delayed after a surge in voltage was detected. But they got it up there, and it's working, and good for them. Absolutely good for them. Story coming on out of South Front, talking about the brand new space race is upon us, and I, for one, think that's a really good idea. There are two basic directions in the space race: who will reach Mars first and who will colonize the moon, because it is, after all, much closer. Resources need to be extracted, and the U.S. wants them to be available to it and its corporations. And the second aspect is who will be able to establish the most military and reconnaissance infrastructure in space to have the upper hand in harvesting resources. Well, better a space race than an arms race, if you ask me. And remember, the boom times that we had in the tech industries in the 70s, 80s, and 90s in this country were all born in the Apollo program to go to the moon. And so we bring that back. Think of all the new industries, products, and jobs that are going to be created from that. So anytime somebody says, why are we spending money to go to the moon? Why don't you just give it away to the poor? Well, poor, learn to code. Get a job with NASA. You'll get a lot more money that way anyway. A while back, we had an interstellar object whiz through the solar system. In fact, it wasn't even detected until it was already heading back on out to space. It was discovered by a Hawaiian observatory, and it was named Oumuamua, which is Hawaiian for scout. And it was originally postulated to be a very thin spindle-shaped object that was rotating or spinning around its long axis. And a lot of people are out there saying, oh, it's an alien spaceship, it's this, it's that. But they have gone back and looked at the data and figured out that it was actually a disk that just happened to be edge on to planet Earth, and it was spinning like an old phonograph record, and that accounted for the variations in albedo that led it, original observers to think that it was spinning when it was thought to be a long, skinny object. So it's this pancake-shaped chunk, and they're saying it probably is from a Pluto-like exoplanet that left its home 400 million years ago. And fascinating object. Now they're going to be looking for more of these interstellar objects coming in. It's like on Jupiter when Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 plowed into the atmosphere and left all those scorch marks there. And they said, wow, what a rare occurrence. And then people kept looking at Jupiter and they kept seeing more and more of those scorch marks and came to realize that Jupiter gets hit with asteroids and comets all the time. Interestingly enough, there is a new satellite that has been launched into space. It's called ELSA-D. It's made by the Japanese firm Astroscale, and it launched last Saturday. It uses magnets to clean up space junk. There is something like 9,200 tons of debris up there in orbit, which represents a threat to the growing spacecraft and the orbital commerce, as it were. I think there's even still a glove from the Gemini missions up there. We're going to be back after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Working two jobs ends never seem to me. She often goes hungry, so her babies can't eat. Fatherless son wears torn clothes to school. We're making fun of him's the only golden rule. She doesn't know.
welcome back to our show here. We're talking about science and technology news here as we head to the top of the hour. And Russia's Samara University has said that its pioneer ultra-light optics for nanosatellites will be sent to space for testing. Now, what do they mean by that? Well, most optics used in spacecraft tend to be rather large. They tend to be very, very heavy. Think Hubble Space Telescope. Think keyhole satellites, Voyager camera, and so forth. And then think about how big the lenses were on the old digital single-lens reflex cameras and how small they have been brought down for your smartphones, which take excellent, excellent pictures. Well, they've basically applied the same principle to come up with these extremely small optical systems for these nanosatellites, and they're going to be tested aboard Russian nanosatellites Cube SX HSE and Cube SX Sirius HSE. So they're saying that cheaper nanosatellites with compact optics make it possible to create large-scale orbital constellations from hundreds of satellites to ensure monitoring of Earth in near real time and obtain an image of any spot on Earth's surface without waiting for a large remote sensing satellite to fly over the right place, which can be a bit of an issue. Needless to say, there is a very obvious military application for that technology. Over in the United Arab Emirates, they're developing cloud-shocking drones in an attempt to artificially boost rainfall. And it seems every year tech developers and researchers come up with some new unexpected application for unmanned aerial vehicles, bringing humanity closer to some future dystopian Skynet scenario where robots are ruling the skies overhead. Maybe, maybe not. Depends on the programming here. But what they're going to do with the UAE is they're going to have the drones basically fly up into the clouds and hover there. And deliver electric shocks in the hope that it's going to stimulate rainfall. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. Interesting technique if that works. Toyota is sounding a warning about electrifying all automobiles. And they're basically saying that, the materials needed to make them are in short supply, as we've already said, with the cobalt. There are two other issues, and one is that we don't have, as a world, as a country, the electrical generation capacity to throw millions of rechargeable cars onto the power grid every single night. The other problem is that when you look at the way oil is refined, gasoline is still going to be produced by those refineries. And what are they going to do with it? Set it on fire and let it, burn up to the air the way they do the methane. So, maybe the gas electric hybrid is really the better way to go, and I tend to think that it is. Story coming on out of naturalnews.com. They're very worried about fish. There's the music. Okay, well, we'll leave this one off. We're going to open the phone lines, area code 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back after station identification.
Gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.